In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Louise Reed. I'm with Karen Stewart and Matt Johnson, staff member here, extraordinaire in GPA at Glasgow. Matt's going to be talking to us about his life message, who he is, where he's come from, his background, but also the incredible way that he has overcome real difficulty in his life and how it has brought him to this place of leadership, strength, deliverance, ministry, and overcoming. So join us for this episode. Well, hello, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Louise Reed. And in the studio here today in Glasgow, in the headquarters of Global Prophetic Alliance, I am joined by the glorious treasure that is Prophet Karen Stewart. Hey, Karen.
Glorious treasure.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd find a different term that I've never called you before. Okay. I've called you many things.
Yes, you've called me many things.
But I have not called you a treasure.
A glorious treasure.
But you are a national treasure. Well, that's for sure.
National treasure.
National.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's make a note of these things.
Okay. It's strength from strength, glory to glory. And we have with us the wonderful Matt Johnson. Mm-hmm. Matt, it is great to have you. You are in the hot seat today, and we are going to continue our whole theme of life messages and just our understanding that prophets have a message. We all know that. And listeners, you can think of your favorite prophet in the Bible. Let's go for the Bible.
Please,
and what their life message is. I mean, let's take the first one that comes to my mind is John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. He didn't have a lot to say.
No, he didn't.
But what he said was profound. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, if you only have one sentence for the whole of your life that has that weight, he embodied that. He was that everywhere he went.
Yes.
Repentance. Mm-hmm. It was baptism, the baptism of John. Mm-hmm. He carried it. He embodied it. It was his atmosphere. It was his life message. And of course, to make a way for the Savior himself, because he was only one that was coming before. There was another one that was coming that was far, far greater. And I think actually, in some ways, that's the message for every prophet, because we're always making a way to show the one who is the greatest of all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm enjoying my own little sermon here.
well, loving it, Louis.
Yes.
But the point being that we carry a life message, mm-hmm. and there's something in each of us that we're absolutely passionate about, and our atmosphere is full of that. So Matt, you're here on staff at GPA. You're one of the senior leaders here. So maybe first tell our listeners actually what you do, who you are, where you come from before we get onto your life message.
Well, I'll do the easy ones first. So who I am Matt Johnson. I am from Newcastle, the northeast of England, which is the glorious Geordie accent that you are hearing, as Louise will tell me.
I need
to pronounce my words properly.
So articulate. Everyone,
understand. Articulate.
Yes, well, if you need an interpreter, Karen and I are on hand.
Thanks. Well, I'll have you know, Louise, that a lot of our American listeners have said that Matt's accent is the easiest accent to understand out of everybody's, apart from the fellow Americans.
So, okay, I've no comment on that.
I was going to say,
I'm waiting for an American to confirm.
No comment.
Well, the Americans are not a lying nation, so I can't say that. But I'm delighted to hear that they...
Someone understands.
That they understand. That's wonderful.
Someone understands.
Yes.
What I do at GPA...
Give us a Geordie expression, just for our listeners, so that they know what a true Geordie really sounds like.
So the most common one is, why I man? Or if I was going to say, I'm going home, I'm gan yem.
Yeah. Sounds Welsh.
Welsh?
Yeah.
Well, Louise, you now have to do... So before we started this broadcast, friends, Louise did a wonderful, not really, Geordie impression.
I try to do a Geordie accent.
Compare me to an Oompa Loompa, so.
Oompa Loompa. Kawasaki. Oompa Loompa. Isn't that right? That's good, isn't it? But I do tend to go a bit Welsh when I try to do a Geordie accent. Mm. Accents fascinate me.
They're hard to do. The thing I love about Louise is she's so wonderful. And because her accent, she's Irish, she'll say something. So there was one time we're coming up with a power hour schedule. And I said to Louise, Louise, are you available? And rather than say, oh, sorry, Matt, I'm not available, I'm traveling, she said, I'm on the high seas. And I remember I sat actually with you, Karen, going, yes. Louise has turned into a pirate overnight, guys. So
it's true.
A prophet pirate.
I remember that.
Or a pirate prophet.
Okay, yeah.
Do spend that. Quite a bit of time on the high seas between Ireland and Scotland. And can I tell you, that small stretch of water, well, we've been quite fortunate recently, but sometimes it literally can be quite stormy. Mm-hmm. But there you go.
There you go.
Anyway, meanwhile, that's so Newcastle.
Newcastle.
So anybody who's not familiar with the British Isles, you can get out your maps and have a look for where Geordie Land is. And some of the best people come from Geordie Land.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So you're here up in Scotland. How long have you been here?
We've been here in Scotland since 2022, the end of 2022. So 3 years now.
Okay. You've actually been living here 3 years.
Just under 3 years, okay. But yes, coming up to 3 years.
Because you started to appear at Power Church. That was the first introduction to the wonderful man, Sarah Johnson.
Yes, we came to Power Church when it was in Tory Glen.
Yeah.
And then we had a bit of a change where we were moving buildings, yeah. And that's when the building move started. And that's when we said to David and Emma, look, we're very new, but we really feel like the Lord has called us here.
Yeah.
And Emma was like, oh, do you want a job? And we're like, absolutely not. And then obviously now I work here. Sarah works here too. Yeah. That's my wife. She's the CFO here.
Yeah.
But yes, we started then. I remember my first Raising Prophets intensive where I was on team helping do photography. And I'm like, I love this place.
Yes.
It is amazing. It is crazy. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do every day.
Yes, I remember you running around, now that I think about it, with a camera. Mm-hmm. That was the first introduction we really had to Matt in that RP type mm-hmm. environment. But I do remember, I mean, just to say, you and Sarah, both from a business background.
Both from a business
background. You, of course, are both Bible College.
Both Bible
previously, College. Previously. And both business. And so you have a lot to bring to the table in terms of, even though you are both young, Sarah, an incredible worship leader in her own right, and works on team with Ali, and really brings something really very, how would I put it? She's such a stabilizing force.
Such a stabilizing force.
Yeah. And a very intelligent lady. And then there's you.
Thanks, Louis.
Who, thankfully, is not part of the worship team he has ever heard Matt sing.
And friends, as you know from Power Hour, I've went viral with my amazing Kermit clip, Louise.
The Kermit clip.
Yeah, where all of the lovely listeners online start to call me Kermit the Frog.
I know.
Because of my voice.
And paying you to not sing.
And pay.
Yes.
However, there was someone this week that said they're waiting for an album.
I saw that.
Kermit album. Well, there's always auto-tuned.
I might call it Breakout.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay, why not?
A full number and Breakout.
With okay. Kermit the Geordie.
Well, can I just tell you, auditioning for the worship band here, et cetera, it doesn't go well for those who quite aren't on the ticket. And I speak from personal experience, very wounding experience. There was, actually, I don't know if you were ever there.
I don't think I was.
Quick aside, little rabbit trail here, but let's go there. We'll get to you in a moment, Matt. But, you know, our joys and our sorrows in the worship one time. And I remember we were in meeting in a hotel and I just got completely overwhelmed in the worship. I don't know what was going on in me. I'm going to say it was the Spirit of God. But I just went up to where the band was and found a drum.
Yep.
Were you there?
Yep, I remember this. And then I remember you picking a drum up and taking it to the back of the room.
I was told to take it to the back of the room. But sometimes you just have to, in certain circumstances, I mean, you wouldn't do that in a public scenario, but it was a private sort of scenario where just totally overwhelmed. And I think that there's a certain something that it can do in the spirit, just because you are overwhelmed, overtaken. Your timing may not be great, just like your tunefulness may be alternative. My timing, I like to think it was the timing of heaven.
Of course.
That's distinct from me. The band might have been out of time rather than me.
Absolutely.
But I haven't been asked again.
Yeah.
Although at one RP where there was a lot of people gathered, oh no, it wasn't. It was a prophetic warrior conference. And I did get out the drum and went to the back of the room. I was requested to. Mm-hmm. Obviously I carry something.
You carry.
Or maybe I should be.
You do carry something.
Carried it out onto the street. It might have done better out there. But so I feel your pain if you haven't been invited into the worship team.
I haven't. And with Ali on vocal rest, I thought this would be my best chance. But apparently Ali would rather play music over speaker friends.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's true. You heard it here first. Yeah. Worship at staff meetings. Yeah, it comes out of a speaker, not out of Matt. Yeah. Thank the Lord. Okay. Moving swiftly on. We are talking at the moment. Just in these few podcasts, we're just loving talking about prophets carrying a life message. Like about 10 minutes ago, I was talking about John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. But here we have Matt the Geordie, as distinct from John the Baptist, here on staff, growing, emerging. We're seeing all the glory of God that you contain. But you have a prophet life message, and I think you've got several. So tell us, what is the main thing that you feel you carry? And then Karen and I are going to tell you whether you're right, because we're going to tell you what we know you carry.
Great. Okay. So I think my main life message is about being an overcomer and overcoming in times which are hard, but also being somebody that is so focused on Jesus and will run after him, even in the hard times. I think that is my main life message. Now, I don't know if you guys feel the same. I always feel like God gives us something for the season.
Yes.
So I've just walked through a season where my life message for sure was Jesus is kind.
Yeah.
Because actually when you're going through some trial, you need to declare real simple things, friends. Jesus is kind. And one day, I've joked with the Lord about this, but I actually think he's getting a bit serious now. One day I'm going to write a book saying Jesus is kind. Because we need to know that Jesus is kind.
You know, that's my favorite thing about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't actually.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Well, it has been for years and years. You talk about seasons. Maybe that could change. Karen, kindness of God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, and I find myself, and maybe that is one of the overshadowing parts of who you are, because you definitely do carry something that kind of overshadows in this space. But I find myself saying that exact thing almost daily. The Lord is kind. Yeah. And I'm so aware of the kindness of him in a way that I had never really focused on before.
I think if we're used to situations, particularly as children, where we did not receive kindness. From important adults or father or mother figures in our lives, or even teachers or whatever it may have been, if we have not understood kindness, then I mean, it's quite surprising. Even in his judgments, he is always kind.
He really
and there's something that's very beautiful about his kindness. Yeah. Even people who are kind, there's just something that is incredibly special and Jesus-like about them. Mm-hmm. Can we go back to the bit about the overcoming? Because kindness of God, it sits in you. And I'm so glad that that's what you're receiving. But in your atmosphere, Matt, I think Karen and I would both agree, there is something that is emerging and has emerged at a level, which is when you are in the room, something of the atmosphere shifts. It shifts into a territory of strength. Mm. It shifts into a territory of, it's an interesting sort of order. It's not the sort of order that Karen brings, but there is an order of sorts. I have always said to you, and I feel this, that you have a message of the Father, not just the Father's love, but the Father's character, the strength, the weight of the father in the room. But talk to us about the overcoming bit. What have you overcome?
Yes, so I mean, a lot of you guys will know, and you'll have heard part of my story, and I'm happy to elaborate on that. Obviously, when I was 11, I was sexually abused, and that continued for maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years, roughly, there we go. And never running away from Jesus in that moment and learning to overcome in what was horrific and painful. That I think is the first significant thing. The second thing, when I was 19, I was in Bible college at this time. I very much thought, oh, the trajectory was to be a pastor. I now know that I'm not a pastor, I'm a prophet. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
And all the pastors, can I say, who are true pastors go, and I found I wasn't a prophet, I'm a pastor. Yeah. Praise Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and bless the pastors. Exactly. You are all wonderful.
Indeed.
We just need to know our call in the place that we fit.
Yeah.
So when I was 19 in Bible college, I had a seizure and then got hit with some hot water on my neck, 27% of my body, there or thereabouts, and had a third degree burn, which I now have found out because I did a first aid course, has actually changed. It's not that anyway, beside the point. I nearly died in that year 3 times, and you hear about having to sign your life away. Mm-hmm. And there was 3 times the doctor came to me and went, I need you to sign this paper saying that your parents can't sue us if you die in this operation because it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And you realize that you're, and I'm like, I am literally signing my life away in that moment. And reflecting on that now, I'm like, that is a crazy, crazy thought. It's not something that you ever want to go through or ever hope someone goes through so they gain anything. Absolutely not. If anyone never get burned, and obviously, but in that moment of, I remember being half dead in hospital, or feeling like I was half dead in hospital, in excruciating pain, and reaching out to Jesus. And that's where I started to see him really clearly in the spirit. I grabbed his hand and he just said to me, I'll never leave you. And is that there was that strength of, if you're never leaving me, then I'm never leaving you. And I never doubted his love or his goodness for me in that moment. And it would be quite easy. And obviously there is moments where you go, Jesus, what the heck?
Yeah.
But actually the goodness of God was so present. And Jesus was so present. And he is. If you friends are going through something like this now, then Jesus is really present and he wants to hold you and never let you go.
Yeah. And of course, we're right in the scripture, Hebrews 13:5.
Yeah.
Never means never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's something about even that word forsake. Mm-hmm. It's very strong. Leaving is one thing, because if you can see that. We all know when somebody leaves and they're gone. But forsaking is something entirely different. It's a deeper dive, isn't it, on that
really
word?
Is.
So strong. Karen?
Absolutely. And I think there's something, and you tell me, there's something about encountering him in such a state of crisis and an assurance like that in that state of crisis that roots you to where you just know now, almost what is it that could happen that I can't get through, you know? And I think often, I have a phrase that I use often, what could he possibly ask of me that's too much when I consider that he left it all on that field for me, you know? And then when he comes to you in that place of crisis where you say, like you said, Jesus, really, really, this is what we're doing? The flip side is, but what could I go through? What could you ask of me that is too much when you've already gone before and experienced all of that? And it does. It does not shape you for anything that you come up against in the days ahead. I would say that it does. It shapes you. When you meet him in that kind of place of pain.
Yes.
What is the thing That's too much for me to go through.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that reminds me back in straight into Corinthians. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 10, because the temptation in those situations is not to overcome, but instead the temptation is to give up. Yes. The temptation is to give in. Mm-hmm. And just for any of our listeners, if you're in a situation at the moment where you're thinking that I just can't do this, listen to what Karen has said, or I just don't even want to do this, or he's not enough for me in this. Corinthians says, you know, no temptation, whether it's to give up, give out, give over, whatever. Mm-hmm. No temptation has got us, has seized us, except what is common to man. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through the, but God is faithful. Yes. And he won't let you be tempted to give up or give out or give whatever beyond what you can bear. In it, he provides a way out.
Yeah.
And that's what the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And for you, Matt, you overcame by the understanding and the revelation of his presence. Yeah. Now, will you break that down for us a little? What did that look like? How did he come to you? How did you perceive him? Yeah. So it wasn't just fact, I'm believing he's with me. Although, can I say, that is good enough.
Yeah.
But God is so kind, he gives us more.
Yeah.
So break it down for us. How did it happen?
So I remember, with one of my first operations was down south where I was located, and coming up back up to the north, which is a specific burns unit, I remember entering into that room, and I had my own private room because of the severity of what had happened. And my bed was here, and then to the left there was a small chair, and to the right there was a small chair. And what was really interesting is Jesus sat on my left, and he took my left hand because my right hand was unable to use it really. He grabbed a hold of my left hand, and I'm seeing him like I'm seeing Karen now.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that that's really happened for me. And he looked at me and went, I'm just going to be here.
Now, when you say you saw him, did you see him with the eyes of your heart, or did you physically see him?
So with my physical eyes, I saw
him. Physically saw him.
So that was the first time I saw Jesus with my physical eyes.
Right.
Before that, it had all been the eyes of my heart, you know. But this was the first time that I physically saw Jesus sat in the room next to me. And that does something to a person. When you see the King of Glory and he's holding your hand, you're forever changed.
I know. Those encounters with him, they mark you for life.
For sure.
So you have overcome by his presence, by his redemption. He healed you.
Yeah.
And it is a fabulous testimony, but it's more than a testimony that you just utter with your mouth. Mm. It's an atmosphere that you carry. And a message that it just arrives with you in the room of overcoming. But also, I think it's what has probably brought you into such a strong deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I suppose if we go back to the seeing thing, obviously seeing Jesus and then I'm watching angels come into the room. And because I'm in hospital, there's a lot of spirits of death. There's a lot of demonic. And I remember saying to the Lord, well, what are we going to do about these? And he just said to me, if you speak that they can't come through the threshold of this door, nothing gets to enter.
Right.
And it was just that word from the Lord of, we actually have power in our tongues. Mm-hmm. And if we take authority over the spirits of darkness, we can put a blocker at the threshold of our homes, our rooms, our, you know, wherever we're situated, we have the power in the tongue to be able to combat it. So I think that would be the first place I learned to overcome is using the power of my own voice and not being afraid to go in Jesus' name, because we have that in Jesus' name. Nothing gets to come through the threshold that is not of you, Jesus, that is not from heaven.
Wow. That's powerful.
It really, really is.
Do we know that we can do that?
And
do our listeners know you can bar and you can permit in Jesus' name?
Yeah.
So what difference did that make to your sense of strength in a weakened position?
Yeah, and just as you were saying that, Louise, Lord just dropped into my mind about mental health.
Yes.
And actually combating that and the strength of knowing who Jesus is and knowing who you are, friends in Christ.
Yes.
That was a big part of my Bible college. Thankfully, I was set up. But knowing who you are in Christ Jesus positions you in him, Romans 13. You are in Christ.
Yes.
And that means you can fight out of that place of being in Christ. So there was days where I would feel really low, sat in hospital for a year, and then a 10-year process after that. So sat in hospital for a year, you get low days. And I remember being in the hospital and just feeling, well, what is actually the point of life right now? I'm sat like a potato in a bed. That was my view of myself. I'm very self-critical. I'm working on that, guys, but you'll probably hear that. And I was sat in the hospital and I remember the enemy constantly attacking me. Yep, this is the rest of your life. This is the trajectory. All of your dreams are shattered. And there came a point where I'm like, I need to gather strength here and I need to learn to overcome the enemy in my mind first.
Yeah, come on.
And it was the battlefield in my head. And my stance then changed to, I am going to choose to take every thought captive, which we can do. It is not always easy, friends. And I hope you're not hearing this and thinking, oh, well, that is easy for you, but you don't know what is in my head. I totally, totally understand and appreciate that everyone walks through a different
yes.
thing. But just a super practical tip. Saying out loud, in Jesus' name, I am not having this thought, does something in your head. Caroline Leaf talks about how that will literally force a thought into the middle of your brain and it becomes hot air. Our brains are wonderful and God is a masterful designer. Mm-hmm. So of course, if we start to use our voice and decree a thing in the atmosphere, the enemy doesn't know what's going on in your head. But if you tell him the crack, if you tell him what's going on in the airways, he will start to get scared and he'll go, oh yeah, we need to retreat now because this person knows they're in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
They know who they are and they know what they carry.
Let me just say one thing that I think can come as a revelation. If this is a revelation to you, grab it. You have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice.
Come on.
Whether to take every thought captive,
whether
to take hold of a negative thought and to allow it conceive in you. And where does it end to? And what does the scripture tells us? It ends with death. It is death to your frame if you feed that thought.
Yeah.
But you have a choice that when something comes along as a negative thought, and a little tap in your mind and you go, oh my goodness, and before you take hold of it, choose life.
Very
choose good. To think a different thought. I mean, I still remind myself of this. If I choose a negative thought about myself, about somebody else or whatever, and this is different than truth. I'm just talking about a negative thought that is a little demonic plant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I choose to take hold of that morsel, because can I tell you, it will be a morsel.
Yeah.
It will be easy to take. But if you go there, it only leads to death. I can choose life so that me and my household will live.
Mm-hmm.
And I can choose the life thought rather than the death thought.
Yeah.
And you know, test this. Test the word of God. Mm-hmm. See how it works for you. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, that is a discipline, a spiritual discipline of the mind.
It really is.
Karen.
It really is. And not just, it is a discipline of the mind, but I think it's more a discipline to take authority over your mind.
Yes.
And your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a discipline to say, I will not be, I have a thing, I don't like being taken advantage of. It's something in me very deeply. I do not like being taken advantage of. And so when I realize that when I partner, and again, to your point, it's not a thought that's not rooted in truth, but you know it's something that's just an assignment that only has power in life if I agree with it.
Yes.
Right? When you realize it is your agreement that gives life to that which will then control you. I will not be controlled by that anything and give myself over to a thing that has no point or no other objective but to destroy me. And to know that it is as simple as me saying out loud, I don't have a problem talking to myself out loud. Of course, I'm not talking to myself. I don't have a problem with saying whatever needs to be said out loud. I will not agree with that lie. Mm-hmm. And let it dissipate, just like you said, because I love the leaf, by the way. Caroline Leaf, love the leaf.
Caroline Leaf, just for our listeners, she's a great brain scientist from South Africa. Yes, absolutely a believer. Yeah. And have a look
love
at her stuff.
You should
YouTube, her books, et cetera, her courses, et cetera, et cetera. Well recommended.
Yes, I totally agree. Let that thing just vaporize and be done. And walk in the authority that Jesus died for to give you.
Even just what you said there, Karen, the whole area of agreement.
Yes.
You know, you get to choose agree with.
Yes.
So agree with the right things.
Yeah.
Agree with your spirit. Let your spirit be in charge. Mm-hmm. And Jesus within your spirit, Holy Spirit in your spirit. Agree with what heaven is doing. Yeah. Because even in it for you, as you say, like a potato in a bed. Although as an Irish woman, potato is always a good thing. So, you know, when you say a potato in the bed, I'm thinking, that's all right, that works. There's hope and sustenance there.
Well, that's what Sarah thought.
But there you are. But you did not agree with the demonic assignment over your life. Because the enemy wants to take you out, Matt Johnson.
Yeah.
But here you are. You agreed with life. You took hold of life. Coming through the tangible presence of Jesus with you. And here you are today as an overcomer. And there is something that when you're in the room, there is an authority that comes as you pray deliverance prayers, where you feel the weight of your whole self behind that. And this, for all of our listeners will agree, I'm sure, this is the power of testimony and the power of overcoming every situation that is given to us. Because I can tell you, I'm not sure, you could test this, but would you have the same power in deliverance had you not been through the suffering and the overcoming?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would lean on the side of I don't think I would.
Okay, there you go. Leaning.
Leaning.
The other thing that I think is it's brought you into is such a new level of leadership in the body and what is emerging. You are a prophet leader and your message is leadership, prophet overcoming leadership. You see that?
Yeah.
And would you say that you saw that? It's interesting because we have a lot of overlaps in our background. In the business space is really interesting because you're not going around in corporate America. There's a lot about you're not doing all the things, right? But at the same time, you were still a prophet in that space.
100%.
And there is a certain, it's a fascinating thing, and that's certainly a whole other episode. It's a very real thing of holding the space that is you. Even when you're outside of this bubble that we would call whatever spaces, Christian, whatever spaces you're in everyday real life, you still have that authority and still walk with all of those things.
Yeah. And like you said, there's a whole other episode, but something I used to love to do, friends, and if you're in business, I encourage you to do this. Every business meeting I used to go into, and I used to be a consultant, so consulting for companies, meeting CEOs, meeting marketing directors, sitting opposite them in the room and watching the Lord reveal things in the spirit to me that I knew I had. That was the trajectory. So I'd come in with my agenda, which is, this is how I'm going to help improve your business, you know, as a consultant, doing all of those consultancy things. But then the Lord would show me something, and I can remember really clearly seeing a sextant on someone, which is how you used to navigate something on sea by the stars, you know, hundreds of years ago. And I remember seeing a sextant on somebody, and I remember realizing in that moment, Anna, this is not a moment to bring clarity on your branding. This meeting is actually about strategy and figuring out your direction in your trajectory. And in that moment, you just have to pivot quickly. So being a prophet in the workplace, like we said, this is a whole separate episode, but being a prophet in the workplace and also being a leader, being able to hear what the Lord wants to do and letting your agenda die quickly to then go, okay, Lord, you want to speak to this person about strategy. My agenda doesn't matter because actually what you've told me is the thing. And then you're warring for someone. Yeah. Someone's business is almost like a child in some scenarios.
Yeah, and that was exactly what it was making me think of. Is that not the posture and the position of a healthy, stable father figure?
Yeah.
Does he not set a trajectory for this is who we are as a family, a unit, whatever that is, and this is how we will navigate, this is how we will move and go forward. And even though oftentimes, you know, they place a lot of weight on the mother and the wife, and there certainly is that balance, but that stability that comes is, right, this is what we'll do. And there's something that happens in that. And that part, as Louise was mentioning, in your leadership here and in your leadership spaces, in, again, this particular remit, if you will, would mirror in the same way a consultant doing that same thing. I see this thing here, right? This is what we need to do. It's something about that. And with the authority of the one who leads as that father-ish figure. And I know we've got some younger members on the team who have you one step from grandpa by now. Yeah. But it's because there is that, there is a certain fathering thing about you, Matt. It really is.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about the class behind the glass today is Josh actually has me saved in his phone as Father Matt.
Father Matt.
Go. So there you go.
We have Josh today, the class behind the glass. We love Josh.
Yes,
we love Josh. Well, look, this has been a delight, has it not?
Really,
and
yes.
We could talk for a lot longer, but our time is up. Matt Johnson, prophet, overcomer, father, leader. We honor you, and it's great to hear some more of your story. And I'm sure you've whetted the appetites of our listeners to hear more from other prophets on their life message,
absolutely,
as well as to hear more from you. I think we definitely need to explore the understanding of being a prophet in business. I think that's going to be a big one for us to chat about. So thank you so much for being with us today for this episode of What the Prophets Say. And from me, Louise Reed, Karen Stewart, and the lovely Matt Johnson, prophet leader, it's goodbye from us, and we'll be with you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.